Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So if you've been paying attention to the show since last week, you'd be well aware that we've been giving you a 360 view of the various impacts of the tariffs, what they mean for South Africa's economy and various spaces and sectors of our economy. We've largely focused on minerals and mining. We've spoken about the agricultural space, steel producers, citrus producers, and even the automotive industry. One industry that we're going to dig deeper into now is not only a focus on citrus exporters. You might recall just last night we spoke to Wandile Sihlobo of AgBiz, who helped us understand that in a few weeks, a lot of the citrus growers will need to harvest their fruit. And as things stand, they're exporting this to a market like the US, but they are hoping that there will be favorable outcomes that can be negotiated before then regarding the tariffs. Let's not forget, there's also other products that we export, not just citrus, but right across the spectrum when it comes to agriculture, even our beef products. And bear in mind, this product doesn't just move from the farm to the port. There is processing that happens in between. The preparation, the packaging, the transportation, and of course, then ultimately moving our goods to the port comes with a great level of understanding of the value chain of the agricultural space. To tell us more about this, we join now on the line by senior economist at APSA Agribusiness, Dr. Marlene Lowe, to give us a better understanding. Dr. Lowe, welcome to Kaya Biz and thank you for your time.
Right. Thank you for having me. Wonderful to be here.
Fantastic. I'm excited to have this conversation with you because just when we thought we've gotten a better understanding of our agricultural sector and how it will be impacted by the US tariffs, there's another layer to it. But I'm keen just to start off with your immediate analysis of Donald Trump's tariffs and how they'll likely impact our agricultural sector.
100%. So I think you rightly alluded to what Wandile has been covering over the last couple of days. So our citrus season is imminent, and there is quite a substantial proportion of what we export out of the Western Cape that is destined for US markets. So we are a counter-seasonal citrus producer, and our key competitors are Peru and Chile. And so there is only a 10% tariff, and we really need to see how they will react and perform because of the fact that they are more competitive given the relative tariff structures that we are facing in comparison to them. We are seeing in stuff like soft citrus that there is capacity from other Southern Hemisphere exporters to fill a gap that potentially uncompetitive South African products could leave. And I think there the concern is really more long-term. So if we were to lose market share, what would that imply for the industry? It's always very difficult to regain market share once you've been excluded from a market.
Got you. And I think this is so critical for us to understand that there are other markets that we fundamentally competing with who have lower tariffs, but are also closer in terms of geographic locations. I'm not aware if you have been privy to some of the conversations happening with the agricultural players, government and our international peers. But typically, what is top of mind right now as to how best to handle this dynamic?
Yes, so I think all stakeholders are very much aware of the fact that we need to leverage existing relationships to lobby for a level playing field or more favorable access. Traditionally, this has happened in a diplomatic space, so around trade diplomacy between different governments. But I think this time around, it goes beyond that. We would really need to see private sector leveraging on their respective relationships with the corporates in the US to lobby for more favorable terms. And we've seen this working in the automotive industry, where some of the car manufacturers in the US succeeding in getting Mexican tariffs down due to the interest that they held in Mexican jurisdictions. So I think this goes beyond just a governmental responsibility, but all stakeholders need to leverage their relationships.
Mm-hmm. Definitely looking to leverage them, and we're hoping to hear some kind of output and feedback in the days to come. What I'm keen to understand, as you've mentioned, maybe if we do focus just on a better understanding of our local citrus industry and the impact that could be felt there, not just for the growers, but right across the value chain. paint a picture as to what the impact could be on the back of the tariffs that were announced on Liberation Day.
100%. So I think the key thing to take note of is that each subsector faces different realities, and even within a product group such as citrus, there's different nuances for the different citrus products that we export. So for something like oranges, we are a major player in the counter-seasonal period from July to October, with little capacity from other Southern Hemisphere exporters to kind of fill the gap that we could potentially leave. And there the question would be, can the American exporter absorb a substantial part of the tariff incidence, or would it be passed on to the rest of the value chain? If you consider something like soft citrus or easy peelers, there we have an option to divert into other geographies like the EU. If you consider Peru is also playing in the EU, but they would have more favorable terms into the US if the current tariff structures prevail. And so there we would need to take some lessons on how agile our value chains are in terms of diverting exports from one country to another, being cognizant of things like consumer preferences and transaction costs in trading with different markets. But I think the big story there is really that where the incidence will fall is at this point unclear. It does seem that the U.S. economy is starting to show some stress. And so we believe that at least a portion of that tariff increase would need to be absorbed by exporters and producers alike.
What does this mean then for our growers? Does this essentially dip into their profits?
100%. So that would weigh on their margins. And I think in some seasons, you could even see that pushing profits into the negative territory. So this is a definite concern over the short term. And then, as I've mentioned, the long-term issue is around retaining market share. If we lose a market, it has huge implications for trade diversification and how to mitigate risks around that over the long term. And so it's crucial, really, to maintain our shelf space within U.S. supermarkets in order to be able to build on relationships into the future.
Mm-hmm. It does call for interesting dynamics as to how we do manage these relations and, of course, the impact that it could have on the value chain. I am assuming, though, that the U.S. consumer is the one who's likely going to feel the pinch most here, because those costs might be passed on to them.
Yes, definitely. I think that is quite plausible. Within the fruit complex, I think the reality is just that there's an option to source fruit from other jurisdictions. There's also an option if something like citrus becomes too expensive to consider other fruit types, such as your palm fruits, apples or pears, or even things like bananas. So it is complex. I think these value chains are really complex. And at this point, it's very difficult to say if and how much the U.S. consumer would be able to absorb. There is definite risks that this could weigh on the profitability of producers.
Got you. Dr. Low, we focus quite heavily on an understanding of citrus, grapes, and a few other fruits. But help us understand if the beef market might also be impacted. There's an interesting chart that I've seen from APSA regarding the cost or pricing of carcasses. Does this play an influence in some of the goods we export to the US too?
No, so I think our beef sector has a very strong local focus with exports at the moment at around 5%, and these export markets are mainly centered or focused in the Middle and Far East. But I do think the broader global trade dynamics provide scope for the usual trade rhythm to be disrupted. So if you think about something like beef or poultry, which has been exported by the US to China in large volumes, the dynamics between the US and China now suggest that this could become uncompetitive. So on the one side, China could be looking to alternative markets to source additional volumes, mm-hmm. which provides an opportunity for South Africa. And on the other side, the US would be looking for markets in which they can supply some of the excess volumes from their local markets. So if you think about something like pork or poultry, this has already been a contentious issue since 2015 in terms of AGOA negotiations and the US wanting access into South Africa. And so our expectation is that the pressure to get access for those excess volumes out of the US would start gaining momentum if China is not a feasible offset point.
Got you. This seems to bring about so many complexities, but I guess many commentators we've spoken to have left us off with a better or positive understanding of the opportunity that exists. And I'm keen to get your thoughts as you know, zoom out and take a look at the overall picture, the overall dynamics. There's been varying reactions we've seen from different markets. We've just heard that Zimbabwe is looking to concede and actually remove all tariffs on US imported goods. Whilst China is fighting a very tough fight, one that it can, though, with the US, when you take a look at what this means for the global construct of trade, specific to agri, but even from a broader point of view, what's your analysis of how this does shift the dynamics in the short to medium term, and maybe with a long-term influence?
Yes, so I think over the last couple of decades, we've been spoiled with trade rhythm that was very finely regulated by the rules set out by the World Trade Organization. And with the announcement of the tariffs and the retaliation that we saw from different countries, it seems that this rule-based system is being abandoned, or at least it plays a smaller role in trade. So what we foresee in the future is much more bilateral trade between specific countries. And the upside to this is that it provides opportunities. The downside to this is that it would increase transaction cost, and we would need to invest from a public and private sector capacity to really understand the science, the markets, the technical law elements around trade with certain jurisdictions and negotiate as such. And so I think there the call is on all the stakeholders to really mobilize capacity to ensure that we unlock new markets and we have the capacity to negotiate favorable terms for markets where we are seeing hurdles.
Let's see how it goes. But it definitely is very necessary in terms of the development and growth, not only of our economy, but I guess the world over. Dr. Lowe, we look forward to touching base with you in the weeks to come. Hopefully when the noise has settled, when the negotiations have taken place and there's some kind of clarity as to how the tariffs will be impacted and implemented, especially on an economy like ours. Thank you again for your time.
100%. Thank you for having me.
In the meantime, no more sleepless nights, huh? Unless Trump sends another tweet, I guess. Thank you again. That's Dr. Marlene Lowe, the senior economist at APSA Agribusiness, giving us a better understanding and her perspective of the shifts in the dynamics we need to be mindful of when it comes to the Liberation Day tariffs that were announced by Donald Trump. Phew, it's a lot. I'm keen to get your thoughts on this one because boy, oh boy, has it been a hectic couple of days. I've been seeing and reading a few of the updates, speaking to a few of my peers who work on trading floors, those who are also part of policy, and it's really just brought a heightened level of frustration, confusion, and heightened level of anxiety for many participants in this space. So these are a few of the themes that we will look to address and, of course, want to get your feedback on. Even I'm a bit tired of talking about Trump. And as Viv mentioned, it's only just over 3 months since he's been appointed. We still have 4 years of this volatility. Maybe this is for you to share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. More than happy to get your perspective on the market dynamics and key questions, outcomes, opinions you'd like to share. Again, you can also share your feedback with us also on social media. At Mazeltov3, who actually shared a screenshot of the green screen of the markets. He says, call your lovers at Kukumfupi. Can't wait to listen to whomever will be analyzing the markets tonight if they concede that they were wrong. And as you heard earlier, Viv essentially saying, hey man, this is a dead cat bounce or potential dead cat bounce because it is just short-term recovery in the market performance.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.